The German Navy built hundreds of U-boats in the 1930s and 40s, but today only one remains completely intact. It's the U-505, the first enemy warship captured by the U.S. Navy on the high seas since the War of 1812. For 42 years, it's been sitting in the dry dock behind Chicago's Museum of Science and Industry. More than 22 million people have visited the boat, which is a designated national landmark. And while it remains one of the museum's top attractions, all that foot traffic and 40-odd Chicago winters have left the U-505 in desperate need of repair. Now museum officials hope to get the sub out of the elements. NPR's Rick Carr reports.
A scratchy film from the 1950s tells the story best, how on June 4th, 1944, as an American task group closed in on U-boat 505 off Cape Blanco, West Africa, the German crew panicked. Their captain ordered them to abandon ship and scuttle the 1,100-ton sub. But a boarding party from a Navy cruiser got there first, so the U.S. got a glimpse of Nazi technology, and Captain Daniel Gallery, commander of the U.S. task force, saw to it that his native Chicago got the boat.
In 1954, the U-505 was brought to the Museum of Science and Industry in Chicago as an exhibit and memorial.
It was towed up the St. Lawrence Seaway, and Chicago's Lakeshore Drive was closed for a day when it was dragged on rollers across the road. But it was a sensation, and it still draws hundreds of thousands of visitors a year. This 40-year-old film plays endlessly in the dingy lobby where they wait for tours to begin. The old-fashioned film is an appropriate introduction to an aging exhibit. Just beyond the lobby, visitors file down a mock gangway leading to the sub. Through its portholes, they can see evidence of corrosion on the boat's hull as it sits in a drab concrete courtyard. Keith Gill is in charge of collections at the museum. He's climbing to the hatch atop the conning tower to inspect the U-505.
For sure.
Up here, it's immediately evident that the years haven't been kind to the U-505. About 30 feet across the weathered wooden top deck, museum executive Joseph Schachter opens a hatch to get a look at the hull. And then he points out a line of rust that's formed over a puddle of water and wet leaves that's collected between bulkheads beneath the deck.
You can see it's starting to flake off and the rut in the metal is rusted through. And that line is actually visible on the inside of the submarine. So the distance between outside air and inside of sub is just getting thinner and thinner over time.
In the unbelievably cramped innards of the boat, it's so cold you can see your breath.
This is the front torpedo room of the U-505, and in here you see a display of loading a torpedo.
In the dead of winter, condensation from visitors' breath builds up on the frigid hull. If Keith Gill is lucky, it trickles down to the ship's bilge, where he can pump it out. But if it's cold enough, it freezes solid, coating the inside of the boat with a layer of ice. Keith Gill admits the U-505's decay is ironic. It was, after all, designed for use on the high seas. But in those days, he says, it was pampered by a crew of 60 whose only job was to keep it shipshape. He has to make do with conservators who split their time between the U-505 and dozens of other displays. Budgets are tight, and his crew is powerless to counteract the toll taken by a climate that offers temperatures near 60 one day, and in the 30s the next.
These big changes in temperature and humidity are causing this metal to expand and contract, and the paint is trying to keep up with that expansion and contraction, and it can't quite do it, so it starts to crack.
Just above Keith Gill's head, his colleague Joe Schachter points to a dark line of corrosion.
That line that we saw outside the boat when we were on top is this line now here on the inside, and it's on both sides of the boat going all the way along the length of the entire submarine.
The plight of the U-505 isn't unusual, according to George Pertilak. He's conservator of industrial collections at the Canadian Conservation Institute in Ottawa. He's one of only a handful of conservators worldwide who specialize in maintaining artifacts like industrial and military hardware. Pertilak says these objects tend to be neglected because society doesn't value them, literally, the way it does, say, paintings or even classic cars. What's more, leaving an object like a locomotive or a submarine outside a museum puts strains on it that its designers couldn't have imagined.
It's sitting on static display, and it's outside year-round. So for all intents and purposes, it is functioning as a building, and it just there are a lot of sort of flaws in the design. Submarine turned into a building. I mean, if it were a great design, we'd see more buildings modeled after submarines, I guess.
It's not just weather. Pertilak says hundreds of thousands of visitors a year, many of them kids, impose strains of their own.
The big thing in museums now is interactivity, where people are encouraged to interact with everything almost. There are all kinds of bells and whistles now and buttons to push. And probably children have a hard time going into something like a submarine and not interacting with it.
Conservator Keith Gill admits that's a problem, too. Visitors have stolen from the boat and vandalized it, but he says the weather is much more damaging. The Museum of Science and Industry is a huge building that was built for Chicago's 1893 World's Fair. Its architecture is a blend of neoclassical and Art Deco elements. Its great hall is big enough to hold an intact Boeing 707 hanging from the ceiling. In a corner of that hall, Keith Gill points out a scale model of the museum's ongoing renovation project. Part of the plan is a new enclosed dry dock in front of the museum. He says it's the only way to keep nature from obliterating the U-505.
By the end of the war, the average lifespan of a German submarine was only 3 months. And most of the subs that were built, they were never expected to last over a year or two, let alone 50 years. And, you know, nature has its way of returning everything back into its original form, and steel is not an original form. And so it's constantly trying to tear itself apart in many respects.
The U-505 plan will cost $11.5 million, $1.5 million for repairs right away, most of the rest to set up a trust for maintenance and operations. Museum officials say Illinois' congressional delegation has pledged about half the budget from federal sources. They hope veterans groups can help them raise the rest. I'm Rick Carr in Chicago.